Right now, though, I want to reintroduce somebody who's been in this studio with us. And, well, by the way, he's graciously agreed to be with us in our next hour as well to answer your questions about security. And that is Kasten Thomas. Thank you, sir, for being with us. Whoop, we got to press a button there.
There we go. So glad to be here.
Yep. For our anniversary show.
And thank you for bringing Connie so she can serenade us with the happy anniversary song.
I get it every day. She's my dream.
All right. You get to live the dream every day.
She
sings that.
Happy anniversary every day.
She'll sing whatever I want.
Oh, nice. Well, there's a happy man.
So, listen,
Kasten, we've been talking a little bit about security, but the Super Bowl is tomorrow.
The Super Bowl, right.
There's some new technology that they're going to use in the stadium.
Are they using it in the stadium?
I think they're there. They are in some stadiums.
Well,
I think they are
to.
In Houston. Yeah, they should. So tell us a little bit about 802.11 AC Wave 2.
Oh, before we do that, let's do a little background because...
Okay.
802.11 is actually a standard that is authored by the Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers. So when we talk about 802.11, we're talking about a very detailed standard so that many vendors can work together.
Okay, so that's the 802.11.
That's the IEEE.
IEEE, that's it. Okay, and that's one of the, if you will, standardized bodies.
Exactly.
So that we're not inventing all sorts of different kind of technologies that are clashing against one another. This is one of the ways. And what does it have to do with in particular?
And this is wireless technology. So
wireless.
Everybody
okay.
that has a wireless router at home, they have this technology in one of the different flavors, and this is just the newest flavor.
Right. And thinking back 20 years ago, there was no Wi-Fi. There were no hotspots.
It's almost incredible to think that there was a time when we didn't have that kind of thing. It's become so much a part of the atmosphere now.
And this is the 19th anniversary, not only of the Internet Advisor, but of the 802.11 standard.
Oh, no way. So that would be 1998.
Yeah, 1998.
1997 was when the standard came out and the product started hitting the market right about 1998.
Yeah, I remember trying to get it to work, and they had the little PCMCIA cards you'd stick in the laptops.
Yep.
Cisco was the most prevalent. Yeah. Yep. I probably still have one in my bag.
Right.
And I'll show it to you later.
And you know how you can remember PCMCIA? Was people can't memorize confusing industry acronyms.
Okay, back to the AC standard. Wow. So what is AC?
AC is the next evolution in Wi-Fi. And so over the last 19 years, every 2 or 3 years, a new standard comes out. So you might have heard of 802.11b, 802.11a, 802.11n.
N right. was out for a long time.
N was the last single letter standard that they issued. And about 3 years ago, the standard was finally established for 802.11ac.
What did the AC stand for?
The AC stands for, I don't believe anything other than it's the next progression, because within the standard committee, there's an AD and an AE and an AF.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
So, when different standards are proposed, they're all given a distinguishing number. Or a letter in this case. Mm-hmm. And then they only then adopt certain ones. That's why you see N going all the way to AC.
I see. Okay.
And the reason that we as technologists do that is because as we confuse people with lots of numbers and letters and acronyms, it keeps other people thinking that we're really magically really wonderful and smart.
You got to keep us around. Yeah,
it's worked for years.
Wow.
You got to keep us around.
You know, Gary, you just helped me out. Now I understand Microsoft a little bit better. I just thought they couldn't count. But they were just making up other operating systems they just didn't adopt.
They just, you know, they started with 3, right?
Yeah.
And it skipped 9, you know. Windows does that.
Well, they went all the way to 97 and then came back.
Yeah, that's right.
Good point. Okay. Back to the AC. So what are the benefits of this? Because I know we somewhere in N, we had MIMO, multi-in, multi-out,
that's
with
right.
the routers with multiple antennas. And now they look like ET. I've seen them with 7 antennas now.
Yeah. Right.
And now you get to put MU in front of all that.
Yep.
MU?
MU for multi-user.
Ah. Yep.
So the idea of multi-user is that... Let's give an example in the stadium. If you have a video stream that everybody wanted to watch, let's say of another game in the stadium, every person who was watching that video at the same time would actually have that single stream just for them. So if you had 100 people watching that, you'd have 100 video streams going out.
Oh, using up all that bandwidth, a bunch of individually served people. And you're saying that Mew basically allows them to have a single stream.
It's the idea of broadcast TV.
Yeah. Okay, and so then everybody can just dip into the stream at any part that they want to. So if I want to come in at the fourth quarter and you come in at the third quarter, we can just dip at any particular time, not have to move the entire stream for everybody.
Well, yeah, kind of.
Are you using fisherman acronyms again? I told you about that.
So when you think about this, you'll think about different views of a football game, right? Mm-hmm. So you'll get the quarterback's view because he'll have a little camera on the helmet, right? You can get a view from the sidelines, from the coach's view, right? And you can tap into different streams.
Yeah, what you got to remember is that, you know, the sports teams...
No, that's not completely out yet, but that's where this is heading.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, the sports teams are competing with television now because some people prefer to watch a game at home rather than come to the stadium and buy $17 hot dogs.
Yeah. So, or $1,500 tickets, right?
Yeah.
When you get a view of the field goal kick from behind the kicker... You know, and then you get to watch the ball, you know, zoom in on the ball.
See what as the goes between sees, the
yeah. yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
As why if you could make a change in that game.
So the whole idea is that it's an entertainment venue.
Oh, absolutely.
So these features of augmented reality, virtual reality, are going to be interjected into the stadium experience in order to bring people, again, for those $17 hot dogs.
And again, the improvement or the change that was made is what now, Kasten?
Well, there's a number of changes. You know, everything gets faster, better, more signal, cleaner signal, if you will, mm-hmm. so that things just work better.
Of course, what we're talking about is the wireless standard. This will only apply for people that attach to the wireless network that's at the stadium, you know, the 802.11 network. And we're not talking about the cellular network right now.
Right. And there's other technology for that. And if you look at what the stadiums have been facing, is that every year the amount of capacity that is going on in the stadiums is doubling every year.
And when you think about using that in conjunction with, say, iBeacons, where I could say, all right, for the next 10 minutes, this row or these two rows, everybody in the seats in these two rows gets 20% off a hot dog. So it brings it down to $15.
Right.
Right? So, but, I mean, you can really see... $14.37,
by the way.
Only you, Kasten, would know that. But you could see where this is going, right? And it really becomes a very unique, personalized experience when you're in the stadium.
This is just great. Now I'm going to have to listen to more crying. Oh, my God. Apple invented a phone that can talk to that protocol. Now we have to buy another phone. Apple's going to get so rich. But they're paying for a new technology, and you got to pay for that. And that's going to go for all phones, of course.
Right.
Yep.
Speaking of that, listen, there's no complaining in Apple right now, is there, with the quarterly report?
You know, I looked at that report, and Apple of this last quarter surpassed Samsung in manufacturing more phones and selling more phones than Samsung. First time in a while, because Samsung's been the leader for a long, long time.
And they stubbed their toe.
I multiplied it out. They sold, just in phones, the last quarter, they sold 78 million phones or something like that. That's $54 billion just in phones at an average of $695 a phone.
Well, and they just went over the billion mark, too, a billion iPhones.
Yeah. This is also on a phone that people were saying, oh, well, who wants? It's just an iteration.
Yeah, and that's on the 7.
Mackerel.
Yeah,
on the 7.
And my God, you know, and all the rumors that are going on about the 8, you know, whether it comes true or not is another story. Apple only knows that. It's just crazy. I mean, Apple used to be a computer company. Now they're a phone company.
They
just happen to sell tablets and computers.
Well, I was just going to say, I thought the next iPhone was going to have the 3 cameras, 2 so you can take 3D photos, you know.
Who knows?
It could be one on either end at a 4-inch differential? I think that'd be cool.
It's possible.
Gives
you never
the
know.
3D effect.
Yep.
Mm. Ooh. Hey, listen, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Kasten, I want you to talk about some articles I've been seeing about a new form of ransomware that looks particularly nasty.
All kinds of ransomware.
Ooh, yeah. Coming up on our Internet Advisor 19th anniversary. It's the Internet Advisor 19th edition of our 19th anniversary, rather, of our program. Been around for a few more than 19 editions. And we're continuing our conversation with Kasten Thomas, who is the president of Interworks.
Did I get that right?
Yep. Interworks, a security firm, a cybersecurity firm. And we've been talking about some of the new technologies that are out right now for wireless streaming, but also some recent articles I saw say that there's are new forms of ransomware that's out.
Right. Yeah, and we've been thinking that ransomware is going to get really bad when it's more than just encrypting data, when it's affecting people's lives or mm-hmm. being used for blackmail, mm-hmm. Turning on cameras and watching people do things that might compromise their reputation
sure.
and the like.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. So we're starting to see that emerge now.
So I met Kasten through a company called Securus, who has a breakfast meeting every Friday morning. And there's a bunch of security folks, chief information security officers and other people involved in security. Kasten is one of these guys that seems to find the most unique, the most innovative little companies out there that are going to be the next big companies in security. And, you know, so when Kasten opens his mouth at breakfast, it's not just to put in a forkful of egg, it's to really tell us about it.
Well, one of the things that we've done recently is we've actually built a process around finding those game-changing technologies. We've built a database, and we're accessing 19 different sources finding the new companies. And we're going to be formalizing that and rolling that service out to deliver that information to companies to help them know what's coming next, if you will.
Yeah, is there cool. anything? Well, right now, people have asked us this when they email us, and I'm sure we'll get emails after this program doing the same thing. Is there any one company that's better than others for providing, let's say, just the regular consumer who's listening to this program?
You know, I'd say yes, but it's going to change tomorrow. The thing
they keep
about
leapfrogging
security,
each other?
It's changing so quickly that I could give you my opinion today, mm-hmm. and you know, there are a lot of opinions out there. What I tell people for the home market is find a technology that you've heard of or read about, or somebody who knows these things that you trust. Get their advice.
Okay, we trust you. Tell us what to use.
That would because, start sounding like a commercial.
Because, you know, Windows 10 includes the integrated antivirus software. We tell our customers that Malwarebytes is an excellent program.
Yep.
It's just not malicious software, and that's what Malwarebytes is, because the border between viruses, Trojans, and malware, all of them do that now.
Right.
Where...
Yeah. And the tools that you need to protect yourself really depend on what you're doing.
Yes.
You know, the tools that a small business will use will be different than what General Motors or Procter & Gamble will
mm-hmm.
use.
Sure.
That'll even be different than what a bank would use. So if you're only using email, you know, that's one tool.
Yep.
So when, you know, we all thought Brian Krebs, you know, great security guru, right?
Yep, one of the best.
Until he got hacked, right? Until, you know, and you think of Kaspersky, right? And, you know, they're Russian. They know all the guys in Russia that are hacking everybody else, but they got hacked, right? So is anybody safe?
No one's safe. I mean, the big change that's happened in the world, that every one of us is under constant 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, you know, the threat of a cyber attack, our identity, our privacy, the data on our computers. You know, there was a hotel in Austria that was hacked this past week where they were unable to service their customers, and they paid, I believe, $4,000 in order to get the system running so that they could open the door so that their guest
Could actually get into the room.
Get into the room.
Oh, my goodness. So you were talking about the next generation of ransomware. What do you mean by that?
Well, when you look at just the encryption, that next generation is the entire computer is encrypted, and you just get a black screen with a message that says, click here, pay.
Oh,
I mean, the great, you know, the ransomware people are actually improving customer service. They have helplines.
Yeah.
There's a new concept that really, really scares me called ransomware as a service.
Yeah.
Where anyone can go onto the dark web and push. And we wrote a blog about this, about how it could affect local, city, state government schools, because there's so much open information. What these ransomware hackers want to do is get someone to open an email or click on a link. Well, if it's about last night's city council meeting, it's very easy to get somebody to click on a document that's attached. If it's someone who's doing what we call spear phishing, a very, very targeted attack with a very, very targeted message that someone's naturally going to click on.
It looks like it's coming from the mayor, and it's going out to the other council people, and it says, regarding last night, blah, 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 they'd have the agenda. They could see it. They could fashion an email that's very targeted. That how would you know?
Here's that PowerPoint document you want, you requested.
Cal, do you have something?
Well, then maybe it might be now. It might be the time to start thinking about doing things like daily cloning of your machine, so that if they did grab your machine and hit it and that sort of thing, it'd just be a matter of opening it up, take the old drive out that's been ransomized, for lack of a better way.
It's interesting you bring that up.
And stick a different one in.
Well, I was going to say virtual PC or virtual.
But Corporal Texas was hit with ransomware. They decided not to pay, and they lost 8 years of evidence.
Jeez.
And they said, we're not going to pay. They wiped out all the drives, restored from backup, was also encrypted.
Oh, really?
So 8 years of evidence.
They they got to the backup?
Yes, they got to the backup.
So most of the time, and I know friends that have gotten hit by ransomware, and they just said, okay, they closed everything down, they backed up, we're back in business again, right? Mm-hmm. And closed down where the bad guys had come in.
Yeah.
So how did they get to the backup? I mean, that's starting to scare me, because a lot of us were saying, okay, if they hit us, right, can't always stop them because they come up with new innovative ways.
Because they did the backup.
Right. Or they encrypted the backups first.
It came in, got infected, they did the backup, and then the other one that was online already got activated, it encrypted, and then they said, okay, fine, took it out of the way, put the other one in, it had the bug already in it, they turned it back on and encrypted that one.
I wonder, do you think then that things like Carbonite and other cloud security firms are taking precautions precisely to not let that happen?
Well, I think they try to do the best they can. Yeah. It's like anything else. How do you fix something that you don't even know exists yet?
Wow.
And so then until it actually shows up, then, you know, that's when you'll know. But that's the reason why I've always believed in multiple backups.
Right.
I have backups in the cloud. I have backups on hard drives. Mm-hmm. I have backups all over the place. So I got multiple chances, not to say I'm going to beat them all, but I got multiple chances of being able to get the vital stuff that I need.
Well, and I noticed you're carrying around mostly an iPad as opposed to a PC. probably less susceptible.
No, the PC's back here. This is just easy to read while I'm looking at show notes.
So
you got to do multiple things to be able to, you know, it's the belt and suspenders theory, you know.
Right.
If you don't have one thing to cover yourself, you have something else to cover yourself. And the highly critical stuff, you just need multiple backups in multiple locations.